This episode of Unqualified Opinions is brought to you by HireChain. Your next hire could come from anywhere: a recruiter, a job board, a referral network, or a conference. HireChain manages hundreds of candidate sources for you, so you only see relevant applications and can focus on picking the best person for your team. On average, our customers fill open roles faster and 30% cheaper than with traditional recruiters. Leading companies like The Graph and Messari already use HireChain. So get your time back. Talk to HireChain today and hire the best, fast. Visit hirechain.io/Messari for prioritized onboarding. This podcast is meant for informational purposes only and is not meant to serve as investment advice. Hosts and guests may hold cryptocurrencies discussed in this episode. Opinions expressed may not reflect the opinions of Messari.
For over a decade now, the case for public blockchains has followed a consistent, steady drumbeat.
Let me start at the very beginning. Why have DeFi at all? Why have crypto assets at all? What makes this stuff interesting? What makes everything interesting is the fact that when an asset is issued on a blockchain, it's better than when an asset is issued in a spreadsheet and through paper contracts and through a lot of human effort. When an asset is issued on a blockchain, you get these superpowers. These asset superpowers are programmable assets. They're autonomous. You can build systems that run 24/7. They're transparent. It's efficient and it's fair.
But adoption has come slower than many of the earliest crypto builders hoped. Listing all the reasons why is something of a fruitless exercise. There are too many and they're all interdependent. But somewhere on that list, you'd have to include the fact that the types of use cases that have been most popular in crypto's earliest days tend to be things that pre-crypto could be considered niche. That's where real-world assets come in.
When I look at the world, I see a really, really simple chart. There's about $1.1 trillion of assets that exist on-chain today, and there's about $950 trillion worth of assets that are not on-chain, that are still administered the old-fashioned way, that are put together with spreadsheets and legal contracts and humans and duct tape and can't really do anything that they don't already do. DeFi is capable of making that $950 trillion of assets useful.
The idea behind RWAs is big things an average person buys could be transacted on-chain. Buying a house or signing a lease dramatically simplify the application and closing process. Interested in owning a piece of expensive art? Consider purchasing a fractional share in a painting represented by an on-chain token. The most successful RWAs in crypto to date are centralized stablecoins, USDC and USDT, on-chain assets that are backed one-to-one by the US dollar. But in the last 15 months, the total value of other kinds of RWAs has exploded from $2 billion in the beginning of 2023 to $8 billion in April of 2024. New projects have emerged and grown rapidly, giving early indications of consumer preference and potentially a path towards widespread adoption. I'm Kenji Steinmetz, and here's the story.
Messari's annual conference Mainnet returns this fall, September 30th through October 2nd. Now in its fourth year, Mainnet is the largest annual crypto event in New York, featuring leaders from crypto, Wall Street, and Washington. Join 3,000 attendees this year to hear from leaders like Kathy Wood, Hester Peirce, and Chris Dixon talk about what's in store for this year, 2025, and beyond. We'll cover the explosion of real-world assets on-chain, the industry's physical infrastructure, the codependent relationship of crypto and AI, the continued growth of smart contract platforms, acceleration of institutional products. We've got it all. Mainnet's your opportunity to meet hundreds of projects shaping the future of crypto and the institutional investors and capital allocators helping fuel their development. You can enjoy a 20% discount using discount code MessariPod when registering at mainnet.events. Interested in a prominent presence at this year's Mainnet? Snag a meeting room or a booth and contact events at Messari.io to explore all Mainnet has to offer.
The first asset to get mainstream tokenization was dollars. And that's because the complexity of dollars is incredibly low and the demand for them is incredibly high. It's a very simple two-dimensional chart. Increasing in complexity, we have things that have complex cash flow or ownership or storage costs or behaviors. Assets with yield, Right now, everybody is clamoring for yield. Everybody wants that sweet 5.5%.
Hey, Kenji, welcome back.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
In your intro and just now, we heard Robert Leshner, who founded the Lenin Protocol Compound, lay out his passionate case for the practical benefits of real-world assets. And you put out a report recently that shone a light on the progress some RWA projects have made in the last year plus. And I think it's important to talk about because the idea of representing off-chain assets on-chain is an idea that has been floating around crypto for as long as I can remember. But as so many other parts of the crypto world have had breakout moments, it feels like RWAs haven't had theirs yet.
Yeah. For this discussion, let's ignore centralized stablecoins, which I think a lot of people would argue has been crypto's clearest mass use case so far. But outside of those, I think you're right. This category hasn't developed as fast as many thought. And that's all relative. I mean, at the beginning of last year, the value of non-fiat backed RWAs was $2 billion. Not nothing for sure, but in the context of the broad opportunity, just a drop in the bucket.
But you've seen some new projects that in just the last year or so have started to unlock that opportunity.
Exactly. That $2 billion has turned into nearly $8 billion in less than 18 months. So it does seem like something's being unlocked. And to oversimplify, I think it's really just that there are a handful of new asset types on chain. At the beginning of 2023, over 50% of the value of RWAs was in commodities, about $1 billion. And today, it's still roughly $1 billion. It hasn't grown very much. This growth we're talking about has come from new asset types on chain, such as government bonds are now on chain, underwriting is now happening on chain at higher levels, and carry trade protocols are now on chain. Over 60% of that $8 billion I mentioned earlier has come from those three categories. For the most part, none of them were a player in the space just 18 months ago. And they're asset types that are well-established in off-chain finance, but are now coming on-chain.
Okay, so what early learnings do we have from all this new activity?
I think there's two primary things that I've observed. The first is that the market seems to have a strong preference for yield-bearing debt-based RWAs. You can divide the RWA market into two camps, yield-bearing and non-yield-bearing. And over 90% of the value in RWAs today is yield-bearing. And of that 90%, 70% is some kind of debt. This works out to $5.5 billion of that $8 billion total that we've been talking about. A good example of this is US government bonds. At around 5%, the yield on treasuries are the highest they've been since crypto became an industry. So naturally, there's a renewed interest in bringing them on chain. MakerDAO is far and away the leader in total value locked here. They have a major market share in not only these treasuries, but they've also become a major player in on-chain underwriting, which is more akin to traditional banking.
Okay, and your second takeaway?
The second is that there are a couple of use cases that got a fair amount of attention when these projects were in their ideations phase, but so far have not proven to be adopted as well as some might have expected. For example, things like tokenized alternative assets like art or real estate haven't shown early signs of demand. The idea was, hey, if we put physical art on chain, it'll make it much less difficult to buy and sell these pieces. That may be true, but one, that doesn't necessarily increase the demand for that artwork. And two, putting those assets on chain inherently limits the user base to buyers who are also on chain. Most on-chain buyers are also heavily invested in other forms of crypto, which is predominantly considered an alternative asset class, and may not be looking to increase their exposure to other alts. I'd also put tokenized equity funds and private funds in this category of RWAs that haven't shown product market fit yet. BlackRock and Franklin Templeton are early name brands in this space. These funds have strict KYC policies, which already limits their user base. Now, we're still in the early days of institutions coming on chain, so I don't want to suggest that these efforts aren't ultimately going to succeed, just that they haven't seen as much traction as other RWA use cases.
So what does this all tell you?
Boring is good because boring makes it easy to bring on chain. Boring is good because it's easier to interact with a DeFi protocol. Boring is good because it makes it easier to understand. The title of this talk is Why is Boring Good? And it's because boring is what's going to be tokenized first.
We talked earlier about RWAs being the crypto use case that the ordinary person participates in. And when these projects were in the ideation phase, the assets that were often mentioned as being brought on chain were physical things like homes, cars, art, regular stocks, and other mass market investments. But as new projects come online and start to increase the variety of off-chain assets that are represented on-chain, the things that, at least so far, have the most momentum are things that generate yield. Government bonds, bank underwriting, things like that. This may not be as attention-grabbing as stocks, art, real estate, or other equities, but they are a critical piece of the holistic financial system. As we talk about institutions coming to crypto and things like onboarding the next billion users, the reality is crypto needs to be able to handle the boring parts of finance like UST bills just as much as it wants to be able to handle the exciting parts of crypto. And the evolution of RWAs over the last 18 months shows that those things are starting to come online.
Kinji, thanks.
This episode was written and produced by Steve Bickemer, based on a report I wrote called Welcome to the Real World, written for Masari Pro in May 2024. To read more about RWAs, MakerDAO, and the reason why I think RWAs are positioned for a breakthrough, please consider subscribing to Masari Pro at masari.io.